Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Center, also a doctor at Providence Valdez Medical Center here in Valdez. Thanks for coming on again, Kathy.
Glad to be here.
We thought we'd get right to medical and Valdez City Schools and your role with Valdez City Schools. You're on the school board. But tell us a little bit. Well, let's get to the decision to move school a week, about from the 18th through the 25th. There was a school board meeting, and I think most people who have kids know by now that the decision was made to move the school year a bit later. But I was wondering, I wonder what the reasons are for that. And I listened to the entire meeting, and there were some excellent reasons for moving the school year. There was some concerns about not move the school year. There was a concern from one of the board members to move it later in the year. So let's start first with what are the pros and cons of moving that came out the other day? We'll just give the Cliff Notes version of the meeting from the other night.
Even less than Cliff Notes, I think. And I want to make clear that I'm not speaking for the school board necessarily getting everybody's reasons down, there were lots of people saying, oh, why can't we just wait till everybody's going to leave after the fish are gone, the fish processors are going to leave, the tourists are going to leave when the silvers all got snatched up. Wouldn't it be great to just start right after Labor Day? And I would point out that whatever people come over Labor Day, then you have to wait 2 weeks before that really dies down. So, just starting right after Labor Day, that's kind of symbolic rather than particularly useful. And Labor Day is really late this year. So it's 3 weeks until it would be a 3-week postponement to go till after Labor Day. And if you did those extra 2 weeks after Labor Day, then you're 5 weeks, and that's a lot of instructional time to lose. I think that was the gist of it is, yeah. Yes, that might be good, but we don't want to go quite that late. So then how late do we want to go and why?
Well, and I think someone else, before we go a little further, I think that it was also brought up that there is, there are no active cases. There are two cases that are Valdezans, but they're out of state. So there are no active cases. And I think a case was made, I don't recall who, for the teachers to be in person and meet the students and actually know them, so that it did have to close or they did have to leave later, they would at least have had the opportunity to meet teachers in person.
Exactly. So, maybe meet your kids while the getting's good, and then if it gets worse later, the teachers would have met the kids. I mean, that's one of the reasons it worked at all in spring, is that those were their kids and they already knew their teacher and how the teacher liked to work and all that sort of stuff. And that would be much harder to start totally online. So, looking at those various points, the teachers were very eloquent in terms of how an extra week would help them. We've had some teachers back in the buildings, volunteers coming back a week early to work out all the details, and I was really pleasantly surprised at all the things that they had thought of and planned already. But those people who had been back said, it took us a week to get on board with, what's going to be required and all for one for all and that sort of thing. And they said, we need the whole staff to do that. And just those 3 days of in-service that they usually have wasn't going to really be enough. Plus trying to get everything set up for how is it that you teach the kids who are going to be online in your class and the kids who are going to be in person in your class at the same time. Maybe that requires all the fifth grade teachers to get together and figure out who's doing what. It could be, there's all kinds of things that need to be worked out. It couldn't really be until the whole staff was back on contract and all gets there in the same time. So they really were talking about making sure that everything's ready and that you'll end up with more instruction going on if everybody isn't so stressed out that they are just in survival mode, teachers and kids both. And they're also talking about a soft start, which is that, for instance, the middle school was saying that they were going to bring the kids back in during that week, a few at a time, not the whole student body at once, and show them how you're going to go to your locker less often and what lunch is going to be like and where the hand washing stations are so that they'd be you know, a little bit more prepared. At the elementary school, if you think about it, we're not going to have all those parents on opening day. They have to leave their kids off, because if we bring all the parents in, you've got a huge number of people all exchanging germs, a bad way to start things off. And so if you need to leave your kindergartner, instead of going into the classroom and seeing how it is, it'd be nice to do that ahead of time. So that's what they're thinking about, is bringing in, you know, a few parents, or, you know, families one at a time or a few at a time, so that you can see what, how far apart the desks are, and you know, how they're going to fumigate things in between, and, you know, and tell the kids, this is where the bathroom is, and this is the way you're going to do it this year, so that they get some of that stuff done ahead of time.
Well, there is so much to think about. I do not envy that position.
I should have said also about the elementary, that maybe they would do some assessment of who's where, you know, who kept going and really learned something in the spring, and who's way behind, and who they're going to have to, how they're going to have to catch kids up. So just like we usually do with the kindergartners, and have them start a week later and have assessments and that sort of thing the week before, have the whole elementary school do that kind of thing.
And this was brought before the Valdez School Board. And the Valdez School Board did vote on this. Deerfield brought up the fact that as a union rep, that there are also considerations in terms of starting school, stopping school, that the school teachers union, of course, must weigh in on, because all of, you know, all the rules are being broken, but they're pretty set on, you know, here's the days that we work, and different tenants of their contract. So that was a worthy point. Also, Jenny Kelly.
Well, yeah, we were talking at that point about how we would make up those instructional days, and there's various things that may just make them up automatically, which is that we don't have to do the state testing this year. We're going to still do the local testing as to where kids are in the reading and math and whatever, but we don't have to do the state testing, so there's a week right there. But we were talking about, oh, well, maybe we could add the days to the end of the school year if it looks like, you know, we're getting behind. And the Cheryl, as a union rep, was just saying, you can't just do that without, you know, you can't just say to the teachers, okay, your contract is 5 days longer. Of course, we pay you, but you have to say, teachers, are you willing to do 5 days longer? It just isn't a given.
Yeah, definitely. And then the another good point I thought in that discussion, high school teacher Jenny Kelly said, and I think you alluded to this a bit, but she made some excellent points about the teachers actually having time to kind of gel with each other and where they're at. It's a very emotionally charged time right now, and really just getting a feel what everyone's comfortable with and how things are going to work amongst the staff before actually having the kids into the schools. You know, our teachers get along fairly well, and they kind of know the drill, but the drill is all changed. So, So some great points there. So I think that's great. And then, people should be getting more information about the schools. I know high school is, registering right now. So, if you are out there, and haven't heard from different schools, right, they can contact, various schools. Folks are back in the buildings, but just be aware that things are changing. So let's go there and talk about some of the things that have to happen, of course, like physically, you know, move tables apart and this and that. And a lot of that falls on, I think, the maintenance staff is always ready to help out in administration, but a lot of that's going to be the teachers interpreting guidelines and making those things happen. And I know you're privy to many of the medical things that have to happen. So maybe you could speak to that. What are some of the changes or things that are going to be implemented during this extra week of prep for schools?
Well, a lot of it is the academic, so I'm not going to speak to that. But the medical stuff, we need to have protocols for the front office ladies as to who should go home, who shouldn't be there in the first place, how is it that you get back in after you've been out sick, all those sorts of protocols that are that need to be worked out with them, and how do you isolate kids that are being sent home from each other and from the rest of the world. You know, all that sort of stuff needs to have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted until, of course, something new happens and you decide to do it a different way. But you need a way to start, and we have not been able to recruit school nurse yet. If anybody knows anybody that might be interested, send them our way. But, the teachers need to know what they're going to do in their classroom if somebody looks sick. The front office people need to know, how they're going to, figure out how it is that they're going to call parents and guardians to come pick them up, how it is that they, what kind of paperwork we're going to do to say, yep, you got your test back and you can come back, all that sort of thing.
And
so
there are
a lot of detail.
State guidelines, right, on children exhibiting symptoms and what the school has to do. So that's a big concern with starting and stopping. I think that was brought up as another reason is maybe to make sure that we start right and do everything to mitigate so many, having an infection.
Yeah, it's not just a matter of doing one thing. It's a matter of doing a whole bunch of things, none of which are 100%. But if one cuts it down by 90% and the other one cuts it down by 90%, now you're down to 1%, which is much more tolerable than 10%. So, if we can do all these different things and each one helps somewhat, then we make it safe.
And with that, if the symptoms are, there's a myriad of symptoms, so schools will have to be very vigilant about if a child exhibits symptoms, but without a school nurse, what is the process going to be there if a child needs to go home or if maybe the school calls and says your child has a cough or a fever, what can parents expect?
Well, parents can expect that the little bit of a cough or the little bit of a sore throat that you would usually have sent your kid to school with, at least I would have, you're not that sick, you can go. That's not what we're doing this year. You need to stay home if that's the case. And then, of course, we know that some of those sore throats are going to be strep throat, and some of them are going to be some, rhinovirus, it's just a cold, and some of them are going to be your allergies with your postnasal drip, and some of them are going to be COVID. And the thing is that we're trying to see, without keeping every kid out for every sniffle, how is it that we're going to make sure that that kid with a sniffle isn't coming down with COVID and infecting their whole cohort of friends and classmates? And so a lot of kids are going to get sent home, and then the question is how you're going to get back. If you, in fact, have COVID or a lot of symptoms, then it's 10 days, including the fact that you have to not have a fever, not using any Tylenol or ibuprofen. If you have to not have a fever for the last day, and your symptoms have to be getting way better. So at 10 days, one day without fever, one day without with the symptoms way down. If you say, holy cow, that was strep throat, then hopefully you get a note from your doctor saying that was strep throat. If that was, some little nothing, and you want to go back faster, we're hoping to have testing in place that you can get back faster and say, see, COVID negative, my symptoms are all gone, I don't have a fever, I can get back faster. If it's something that always happens, I have postnasal drip until the snow covers up the pollen, then a note from the doctor saying, this kid always has a sore throat in the morning. If they have something else, then you have to get pulled. But if they've got the same old allergy symptoms or their same old, whatever, joint pain from their arthritis, and the teachers, more than the kids, we're not going to count that. That's their baseline. And so a note from a doctor that would work for...
That could mean our local doctors are going to get a little busier here.
Yeah. The state's trying very hard to figure out how it could be that you don't have to see a doctor. You might have to go get a test, but you don't have to see a doctor in order to get back in for every single kid, because it's going to be, we really don't want the kids to all be out 10 days every single time, but we also don't want them coming back and infecting everybody if they actually have COVID.
And we did talk about this off air. It is the state, if there is the possibility of saying, here's how the Valdi City School District proposes we do it, because the plan they're coming up with cannot fit every piece of it, and it's large from what I understand, cannot fit every community in Alaska and every city, big city, little city, So there is a possibility of saying, here's what we can do and here's how we plan to do it, right? And some of that's going to definitely, I would say, happen, right?
Right, and that's one of the reasons the state didn't just put out a plan and say, here, it's more work for us, but Valdez is not the same as Anchorage, and Anchorage is not the same as Eek. And, each community is going to have to figure out what fits them, and it's really nice for the state to put out, here's some proposed things and things you ought to think about, and here's a checklist, which they are now coming up with. It would have been nice to have it in June. But these are all the things you ought to consider, and how are you going to do it in your school? Which is what these teachers, the advance guard of teachers that came back early, have been working on, is what does passing period mean at the high school, and how are you going to change the schedule so there are not too many people at lunch, and all those sorts of things that could be totally different depending on your exact schools.
And also different, I was just going to say, between schools, because younger kids might have a more difficult time with a mask. Older kids might have more opportunity to follow different guidelines. So it sounded like they're largely leaving that up to administrators. And administrators, I thought at the onset of the meeting, definitely Mr. Berkeley, I believe, said, it was a little overwhelming, but this week he felt like they were really making huge progress and getting excited about seeing the kids. And so that was very promising to hear the administrators at the beginning of the meeting. I felt that they were working hard, and then that came across in their passion,
And they had some very concrete things that they've been doing. I had in my head a checklist of things I wanted to go over with medically with Sean later, and they had a whole bunch of those on their radar and under control. I was very impressed at the work that had already been done.
All right. Well, everybody's got a little extra work these days, it seems like, in every, you want to sell a hamburger, you got extra work to do. You want,
exactly.
Everything, but taking care of our kids is a big job, and a lot of thought being put into that. So shout out to those behind the scenes.
And it's not just the teachers and the administrators. It's, the
maintenance
person in charge of the lunches is new to Valdez this year, and she has to figure out how we're going to send food home with kids who need that food, who are stuck at home in quarantine.
And so doubling lunches. I mean, there are just a lot of pieces. Yeah, so crazy, crazy times. And the testing, you talked about that a little bit with regard to the schools, but with regard to the community, what's going on with testing? I know there was a big push to get frontline folks to test. Then another, wave was kind of the folks from out of state coming in, and now those tests are being required prior to travel here. So what is the testing situation in Valdez? Are you testing many people? Has that dropped?
We don't seem to be testing very many asymptomatic workers from various businesses. There's probably more minorly symptomatic people being tested. There are people coming back doing the traveler's tests. Right at the moment, we're still doing those tests in the parking lot. It's now Monday afternoons at 3:30.
Oh, it's Monday.
And Thursday mornings at 11.
It's
definitely Monday and Thursday, not Tuesday and Thursday. And one of them's in the afternoon, if that helps people out. We would love to have more testing here available, get the answer back in half a day instead of in 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 days. And we're trying to figure out how that would happen more often. The hospital is under certain constraints of who can do testing and how they have to do it if they're in a complicated hospital lab. There's certain rules for those. But this particular test isn't that hard to run the machine. And we do have one more machine in town. We might even be able to get two more machines. So we're trying to find somebody to do that, a place for them to do it.
How about supplies? I think at one point the machine was here, but a lack of supplies to make it happen.
Yeah, and the supplies are not trivial. It's like $85 a test worth of supplies. So if we can keep the state providing those for free to us, that would be really nice.
All right. So if folks do feel like they want a test, who is eligible for that? I know in other places, you know, you can drive through and get a test, but here in Valdez, if you don't have symptoms, can you get a test? And is that coming, or do you foresee in the short term future, long term future, that being a symptomatic folks only?
As I say, looking at the school guidelines, it would be really nice to have a perfect test, which we do not have, which nobody has, that you could go and, you know, your kid has a sniffle and you take them over for their test and you get the answer later on in the afternoon and they get to go to school this afternoon. That would be wonderful. We are not there yet and we may not get there. Although I hear that there's a saliva test coming down the pike that will be cheaper and whatever, and we're talking like a couple months here for that test, not a year and a half. So if that really... that could be a total game changer. Do a saliva test before you head off for work, you know, at the beginning of your week on or something like that. But we don't have that yet. So at the moment, what we're trying to do is get some more of the quicker tests. So if you get pulled for your sore throat and you don't have a strep throat, you can test and see whether it's COVID or not and get back into brick and mortar school faster if that's what you want to do.
All right, and this might be a good way to wrap up the interview. It's mid-August, and who would have thought we would still be talking about COVID back in, you know, March. But we are. So moving ahead as a community, what are, you know, this is going to be a long-term thing. What are our goals? I know we've talked a lot about trying to...
Flatten the curve
a bit, and then you know, it seems like there's a have we flattened the curve? Is it some folks want it to just be gone quick and immediately? What are we trying to accomplish with this virus, and what can people in Valdez do to that end?
Well, what we're trying to accomplish is to have life be as normal as possible, without having a bunch of people die or be or have permanent damage. We really don't know about this virus. The people who have bad cases or even semi-bad cases, it's something like half of them, or three-quarters of them, I'm sorry, I can't remember the statistic, that if you ask them 3 months later, they still have symptoms. So maybe in the long run they'll be fine, but we really don't want to say, well, that's okay, all these high school kids got it, but the fact that they can no longer run or play baseball because they're just too winded because their lungs were damaged, we don't want to go there either. So it's not just deaths. But so we're trying to see how few people can get it, die of it, get permanent damage from it, until we can find a way to get rid of it, either by vaccinating a bunch of people and having the vaccine work really well and continue to work, and or having such great testing that we can do selective close downs instead of major close downs. If the whole world had closed down from March till June, like Valdez and Alaska did, probably if we'd all done it simultaneously, probably the virus would have said, hey, I don't have anybody to infect, and it would be gone. But, you know, that's not going to happen. So what we're trying to do is figure out a way that we can have school with as little damage as possible, without everybody having to stay home all the time and not even see their next door neighbors.
Well, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for the info. Some valuable stuff there. And we'll check back in with you next week and be a little closer.
Sounds good. I look forward to the time that there's nothing to talk about.
Exactly.